Rutherford Issues on News Radio WGNS.
Today we have in studio guest from the Child Advocacy Center, and we have Presley Hosford with us today along with Jessica Wachek. How are both of y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. Great, thank you.
So Secret Santa, that was one of the big things that I guess recently occurred. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so Secret Santa is a give back program we do every year for the child abuse victims and families we serve at the Child Advocacy Center. So just a week ago, we had people from the community really just give these children and families a Christmas. So we were at First Baptist Church over on Castle Street receiving gifts and handing out those gifts, and it really is just so heartwarming in a magical time.
How do you go about deciding what families or children need the most help?
Well, we have family advocates that work directly with these families and are closely with these families. So they actually know their situation pretty closely. So whether they are really needy, not all families actually try to accept the gifts, you know. So we offer it for them, but we usually offer to the ones that we know are most in need. And from there on, I think this year we were able to sponsor and give gifts to almost 175 individuals. So this is not only child victims, this is their parents, their siblings, you know, anybody that lives in that home receives a gift, and they're able to put in their paper with what they're really wishing for, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's sad because, you know, I my children are pretty fortunate, but when they're asking for like hygiene items or like a hairbrush and things like that, you know, it really humbles you. But we're able to do that for the whole family, and that's really it's a really sweet time. You could feel the magic, really.
And then the money that was raised in order to pay for these gifts, it was members of the community and just locals, I guess, right?
Yes, it is. It's we ask for sponsorship, so they go out and they do the shopping. You know, they shop for the kids, we keep all client information confidential, sponsors confidential, but we just give them the list and they get to go out and do it for these children. There were a lot of sponsors that just gave gift cards, which were
amazing.
Which is amazing because sometimes what a mom really wants is just a gift card to go be able to buy some groceries. So it was, I don't know what the monetary value would be. It would be easily over 10,000.
Yeah, it has to be,
because the amount of gifts that were given were insane. There were like 7 bags for one family I saw, like 7 big black trash bags, like contractor bags of gifts for one family. And that mom started bawling, and then we started bawling. Yeah. We're all crying. It was crazy.
And then Nissan, too, we really want to shout them out because they brought basically 2 truckfuls of toys to give out to families and so many bikes as well. And I think seeing the bikes are my favorite, too, because they get so excited.
They get excited to see those bikes.
And so do the kids open the gifts there, or what happens?
So we leave that to the discretion to the parents or to the caregivers, you know, because sometimes that's Santa, you know. And so we give it to their parents. They don't open it there on site because we don't have time to do all that. The families have to come, pick up, and go, because like I said, we try to protect confidentiality, you know. So they don't open it there, but I don't know whether they open it when they get home or if it's Santa. That's up to the mom. That's up to the parents.
And are you ever surprised about some of the things that the families do ask for?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then a lot of it made sense to me. There was this mom that said, all I want is laundry soap. She's like, and it's true. I can't go to Sam's Club and buy laundry soap and not spend over, you know, under $100, you know? And she got Tide. She got a laundry basket full of laundry detergent and the Pebbles. And I'm like, it's pretty expensive.
Prices only gone up.
Yes, they have. You know, so when I see things like that, you know, if they could ask for anything and they're asking for like regular things that we take granted for daily, you know, so I do get shocked by a lot of it. You know, like I said before, they ask for a hairbrush or a new toothbrush or socks.
Coats.
Or coats. like a good coat, a new coat, you know.
And again, how many families, how many kids and everything were helped out by this?
Okay, so that's over 100, I'm going to say between 175 to 200 individuals. So I'm not sure how many of those were actually children or adults.
Right.
But I'm going to say it's nearly about 30 to 40 families.
Yes.
And I know this is the time of year where you have a lot of family members coming into town. They're celebrating Christmas together. They're getting together for the holidays. But that being said, with all these sometimes extra family members in the household, do you see numbers of reported sexual abuse going up during the holidays?
After.
Yeah, after the holidays, for sure. You know, like you said, this is a time where families are gathering in one location. And what we do know about child sexual abuse is that 90% of victims know their abuser. And 30% of cases are by immediate family as well. And so when we are in these isolated spaces together, we really say that three is key when you're with children. Rather, you know, even if you're an adult with a minor or if it's two minors together, we say that three is key, because when you have three or more people together with a child, you're decreasing sexual abuse incidents by 80%, which I think is huge and amazing. And so just really being aware during this time when you're gathering with family, if you are suspicious that abuse is occurring, or if you witness abuse, or if a child chooses you as their trusted adult and discloses sexual abuse, we ask that you do report that to 877-237-0004 so that that child can have intervention and healing services.
And I'm sure this time of year with people visiting from out of town, you have some cases where maybe even the victim was visiting Murfreesboro, then they go back home and then they say to, you know, whoever that loved one is, they divulge it to, this is what happened while we were at so-and-so's house.
Oh, yeah. Because children don't always disclose right away. Whether it's fear, or oftentimes they love the perpetrator, it's someone they trust as well. And so when children do tell you something that big, they're being really brave in that moment. And we know that less than 5% of cases are false allegations. So it's best to take the child for their word, make that report, and get them the help they need.
How does a family member address that when that child says, this is what happened?
Yeah, so I have a few key things to keep in mind if you are that adult receiving a disclosure. First is to stay calm. You don't want to overreact. You don't want to cry. You don't want to get angry, because that child is going to see that emotion and shut down. You know, they're being brave for you, so I ask that you be brave for that child as well. And active listening is key as well. We know that children disclose in steps. So they're going to tell you a little bit. They're going to read your face, read your body language to make sure you're safe and they can continue speaking to you. So active listening. And if you are going to say anything to the child, we ask that it's reassurance. It's okay to tell me more. I believe you. You're not in trouble. We're going to get the help we need. Things of that nature.
And at what point should they call police, or should they call you know, that toll-free number? What should they do with that?
I think the best way to go about it is to use your state hotline reporting number, because it goes to Department of Children's Services, Child Advocacy Centers, and sometimes law enforcement. I would say to call law enforcement when you witness someone abusing a child. And that is rare. But you really need the tiniest bit of information to make a report, and then let our forensic interviewers, who have 100 plus hours of training on how to ask those age appropriate questions and keep it a child-led interview, let them do the heavy lifting.
And this type of stuff, unfortunately, happens every year. I mean, literally happens throughout the year, but during the holidays, it does happen.
Oh, yes. Oh,
definitely, yes.
Of course.
Anytime. Teachers are our number one reporters, you know, and so when the child is not out of school, whether it be the summer, fall break, spring break, the moment they go back to school, that's when we see a spike in reporting, because kids trust their teachers, you know, and they feel safe in that environment. So that's why they're our number one reporters. So when the holidays are over and they're back in school in January, that's when we're going to see another spike.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but just to go back to what she was, Presley was saying with the questions, you know, it's great points to stay calm and everything. Just make sure not to keep them open ended and not to dig too much into details of what actually happened. Like she said, we do have specialized people doing this work. We have three forensic interviewers on staff, only in Rutherford County, but they're all over the state, and they have so many hours of training, specialized training in what questions to ask. This way, they could only say it once.
And then to prepare for what happens next, is that forensic interview recorded, and is that what is often played in court?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So that is recorded, and the child is also told that it's being recorded. So the child is never lied to when they're at the CAC. They'll be like, okay, you know, we have our friends, you know, next door. They're going to be watching you, and it is recorded, and we show them the camera, and then we have a conversation. And they're not pressured to say everything, but they become so relaxed that they will disclose. That's how good our FIs are. I think that our forensic interviewers are really good.
They're amazing and able to build just great rapport with these children where they do feel comfortable and safe. And then while that recorded forensic interview is going on, we do have DCS or law enforcement observing that interview as well, just to make sure we're hitting everything. And our whole goal is to just see this child one time. We don't want them to continuously tell their story and just be re-traumatized every time they're told to recount the details.
And through the Child Advocacy Center, you help that caregiver, that parent, find that next step of getting help, I guess.
Yes, the family advocates are with them through the whole journey. Okay, so whether it goes through prosecution, being investigated, moving, finding child care or finding new health care, things like that, that family advocate is with that person every step. And even after. So even after court has happened and closed, I know that one of our advocates, she's had a mom call her for the past 10 years, you know, and the child is already grown, but she still calls because she wants to talk about it, you know. And sometimes it's a form of therapy, even though we try to get them into specialized therapy, you know, for the child and for the mom, for the whole family. But They'll still call back.
How often are you interviewing people? How often are you seeing new cases come about?
Oh my goodness. We're averaging about 2 to 5 forensic interviews per day. And
per day.
Sometimes we're seeing 80 new cases a month. And these are severe abuse, whether that's a majority is sexual abuse, but it also includes physical abuse. And the numbers are insane right now.
Usually it dies down around the summertime. And because, like I said, kids are out of school, so reporting is down. But we didn't even see that much of a change this year. So that means that Presley's doing an amazing job with Darkness to Light, you know, teaching prevention. Because the more prevention, there's going to be more people knowing what to do, how to report. And so there's going to be that spike before we actually see, you know, lower numbers in general.
Right.
But yeah, so it's been pretty busy, unfortunately.
And that Darkness to Light program, it educates people like, I guess, teachers, Sunday school teachers, and so forth.
Yes, anyone who works or is around children. I personally think every single adult needs to have this prevention knowledge and empowerment if we truly want to create a world free of child abuse. But it's a free training we offer to the community where we learn the facts of child sexual abuse. We learn how to minimize opportunity, how to talk with children and other adults about bodies and boundaries, and then, of course, reporting and how to do your part in standing up and speaking out against child abuse.
And how do we go about setting up a time for you to speak at whatever organization it is?
Yes, you could give us a call at 615-867-9000 and just ask for Presley, or you could visit our website, cacrutherford.org. We have a Darkness to Light section where you could book online with me as well.
And then one more time, what was the phone number if somebody wants to report something that they see as suspicious?
Yes. And I want to say, too, when you make a report based off suspicion, it's called a good faith report. And we still encourage you to do so because we'd rather be safe than sorry. And that number is 877-237-0004.
Perfect. Is there anything else that we may have left off?
I don't think so.
I want to thank you for having us today before Christmas.
Yes. Hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Definitely. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Again, guests from the Child Advocacy Center. And right now that time, 10:45. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming up next.
Rutherford Issues on News Radio WGNS.